This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Karen Reid, there's a lot going on over in that land. Honest to God, as of this recording, far more than I've even been able to keep up with in the last 24 hours, because there's so many cases that have a lot of breaking things going on. So joining me from the road, he is here no matter what, come hell or high water. We have Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Bob, I'm just going to throw it to you. What the hell has been going on in the last 24 hours? Because I'm seeing things about possibly Alan Jackson, Elizabeth Little, David Yannetti being maybe called as witnesses in some way, shape, or form here. And obviously we have everything else that's been going on with the Karen Reid case in the last week with that new doc. Let's start with what's been going on in the courtroom over the last 48 hours or so, which if you're listening to this would have been late last week. What the hell's happening here?
All right, so a lot. So we had originally there were 2 days of motions hearings that were set up for Tuesday and Wednesday. Now those were all going to be what they call motions in limine. Mm-hmm. Now motions in limine are basically motions that are filed just preceding trial, sometimes even during trial, wherein one side or the other is trying to keep something out. Typically, something being said. It can range though from a lot of different things, but it's typically kind of the last minute tweaks to the trial in terms of what either side is looking for, either being included or excluded, being testified to or brought up in trial. And so Tuesday, we started getting about halfway through it because it was a huge volume of them. There were probably, 30 plus motions that were on the docket. Some take a couple minutes, some are more lengthy arguments depending on if they're trying to exclude witnesses, experts, or trying to limit what they can state on the stand when they're testifying. So those things were all being dealt with. Now, we kind of learned halfway through that first day on Tuesday that it sounded like the defense had filed a motion for a continuance of the trial. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we first hear about that, and I'm like, oh, wow, like I hadn't seen that filed. So I think that was happening contemporaneously to while they were arguing in court. I think probably somebody maybe from the office filed it or something. I wasn't aware that they had asked for it that morning. So ultimately, Judge Cannone sees it, and she's like, "All right, well, we're gonna cancel tomorrow. We're gonna kick it to Thursday." And the impetus of the request for a continuance is the fact that they have an appeal in the First Circuit pending, which is over on the federal side. Mm-hmm. So it's in federal court. Massachusetts. So that is, do not do that. Like my wife is going to be sitting here talking on my side, dude.
I was
like
trying to say double jeopardy.
Please, I know all the stuff.
All right.
She is.
Dude, finger motion.
Make sure you put this in, Tony. I want all this. This is the real shit.
Nothing but raw and real here, kids.
Yeah, she just can't help herself. But all right, so I'm going to go back to the take. So the impetus of the motion to continue is the fact that they have an appeal pending over in the First Circuit relating to the second degree murder charge. And really the thrust of it is that if they charge her with it, they believe that they're violating double jeopardy, that they're like she's being tried for the same crime twice.
Sure. Yeah.
Obviously, and I think that they have a very, very tough road to hoe there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a verdict was rendered. It wasn't like if it wasn't reported in the courtroom, the law is pretty clear that it's not a verdict.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's like the law is the law. It's like we may not like the fact that it sounds like everybody agreed in terms of the jury that she was not guilty on 1 and 3. However,
not how it played out.
It just wasn't laid out by a multitude of people, starting with the judge first and foremost.
Yeah,
I lay it at the feet of the defense attorneys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them could have brought it up, asked them to poll the jury when they came out. So Like, what are you doing?
Nothing.
I'm That's not what we do. We you. Just talk.
I know. I
was on a live view. Sitting here telling me to like move on or something.
We're getting back to the topic. All right. I'm gonna block you.
Wow, dude. What? Like, this is insane. She's like sitting. She did this to me. Like
she's
like
your producer. Allie's your producer today.
Driving and like telling me to wrap shit up.
Well, I thought you were just giving a brief. The impetus of this was, and then it dragged.
Oh, I'm talking about all of it. Like people don't know shit.
I know you talked about it last week with
this. This is all fresh shit.
All right,
I'm
done.
Ask you very politely, please don't
block
do that.
You out. All right,
it really throws me off.
No,
when
I get
in the
it.
Middle of a thought. all right. I don't even know where it was.
We all need to go on a road trip together.
Right. So the bottom line is that ultimately Judge Cannone was of the mindset, all right, I'm going to pause this until Thursday. I want to get a little more information from the lawyers that are dealing with this at the federal courts because it's not Jackson, Yannetti, and Little, and Alessi. So Thursday was the day they come back in. In the interim, the defense had filed a motion asking for it to be continued just until April 25th in the hopes that what they would do would get an answer from the federal courts as to whether or not they were inclined to, number one, stay the matter. But I think the defense has to affirmatively file something requesting the stay. Because it's a state case in a federal court.
Sure.
If it was a state case in a state, if they were doing it, what they call an interlocutory appeal, the stay would have been automatic in terms of they would have paused what's going on at the trial court. Because it's over on the federal side, that's not the case.
Yep.
They have to make a showing of a few things in order to be able to show that they should stay what's going on the state side of it. And the primary thing is that they have to show that it would be meritorious. I think that's, like I said, it's an uphill battle with that. But at any rate, so what Judge Cannone did is that she ultimately denied the motion to continue. She says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start impaneling the jury. I anticipate that it's going to take a while to do that.
Sure.
Maybe a week or more. And the hope being that we get an answer from the federal courts prior to the jury getting sworn in. Because when the jury gets sworn in, jeopardy attaches.
Yep.
Double jeopardy. So like kind of like procedurally, that's where it's at. In terms of what was going on and the hearings, those were interesting as well. You had a lot of different things come up. You had, obviously, on Tuesday, she comes out and she reads the Riot Act to Alan Jackson. Really, as the team, but you knew that it was geared towards Alan Jackson because he was the one who had made certain representations, and she made findings. She made absolute findings that, you know, that there was an issue with candor to the court, that he was not honest with the court, that misrepresentations were made, and as to material things. So she was very, very, very stern. And Allison and I were talking about it on our live. You know, I said, look, when judges come out and do that, where they're really hammering you, sometimes you can kind of glean from that they're not going to make the big move, but they're really trying to make you shit your pants.
Sure.
In terms of they are. But ultimately what saved Jackson more than anything was the fact when she called him over to a sidebar, invited Karen Reed over there, said, look, Miss Reed, I've made these findings. I feel that your lawyers have candor issues, meaning that they're not being truthful with the court as to material issues. However, you have a Sixth Amendment right to counsel of your choice. And I want to ask you, despite these misgivings, and these findings that I've made with respect to your attorneys, do you want them to continue on as your lawyers? And as soon as she said, yes, unequivocally, I want them to stay as my attorneys. That was it. She concluded the sidebar. They went back and, you know, and it's still, even though Karen had said that, the first things that Judge Gull says is Mr. Yannetti, or first she asked
Cannone.
Oh, what did I say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. The first thing that Canone, yeah, a gull is always, they're starting to morph into the same gut. They really are. In my mind, they really are. So, but the first thing when she gets back to council table after the sidebar that she says, which is really, really telling in terms of what I was just talking about, trying to put the fear of God in these guys, she asks Alan Jackson, she's like, are you lead counsel? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, we don't delineate like that. You know, we all consider ourselves lead counsel.
Sure.
And then the next thing she says is, well, that's good. So, Mr. Iannetti, you'd be able to try this case. So she says that. Mm-hmm. And then the very next thing she says is, well, despite my findings, Ms. Reed has an undeniable Sixth Amendment right to counsel of her choice. She has unequivocally told me she wants these lawyers to stay on. So I'm going to allow that to happen. And then that was it. So it was a nail biting moment.
Sure.
It was a nail biting moment.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.